Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of African Pioneer. Welcome back, Colin. How's life treating you?
Not too bad, thanks. Very busy as usual and getting on with things. Busy world, lots of headwinds, but again, lots of progress.
Very good. Yeah, we've just seen news of an updated mineral resource estimate for the Ongombo copper project in Namibia. The estimate completed by independent consultants Addison Mining Services shows an additional 100,000 tonnes of copper and 84,000 ounces of gold. The Ongombo mineralization remains open at depth, with potential for more tonnage and enhanced gold grades. A 25-year mining license has been granted, pending an environmental and social impact assessment. The estimate includes indicated and inferred resources, with 5.7 million tonnes of indicated resources and approximately 23 million tonnes of inferred resources. Sounds like good progress to me, Colin.
It doesn't get better, does it? That's extremely good. I mean, and of course, you did mention the fact that on the east shoot there, we've got additional twinned old gold values. And for some reason in the past, when the east shoot was drilled, they didn't assay for gold. So that's a bonus, which we know, almost know for certain, will be added to the pudding in there as we go along life's way. But you know, when you start looking at 23 million tons there, when you start looking at an open pit, which will keep us going for 2 or 3 years, and when and I guess that what's extremely important is the fact that no longer now have you got to do big waste accesses. You know, they're expensive, these declines. We'll actually do it at the bottom of the open pit. The saving, you know, I mean, it's difficult to put it into an RNS, but the saving in the actual mining plan will be immense. To have a couple of three years start with an open pit, that's an immense step forward, contractor mining. The additional impending, if you like, when we drill it, the contribution of gold in the east, and 100 tons at a discovery value, extremely low. From that perspective, we're very, 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 very pleased with the outcome of this round of work.
It all sets up very nicely. What was the situation, Colin, in terms of the processing there? I read in the RNS that you've got the Ongombo project is located 15 kilometers northeast from Otajihaz mine with 800,000 tons per annum of copper concentrator there. So is it possible that the stuff could be processed elsewhere?
Oh, yes, indeed. We've got many options in terms of processing. And of course, that's part of the study that we're undertaking now. And you know, this ore was in the vicinity of Otajasi. It you get something like a 91% recovery for a 27% concentrate grade. It's a very nice product to produce. And not so many years ago, to say that you got a copper gold concentrate was not particularly good news. In this day and age, to sell a copper gold concentrate, it is very, very welcome, you know, and the payability is good. I think they knock off the first gram and you get 94% thereafter of contained gold. So, you know, you're talking serious stuff here, Kevin, and lots of it. So a combination of discovery costs, more copper, more gold, an open pit, which will last us a good 2 years, possibly three, the ability to reduce our entry cost for the eventual underground mine, and with the east zone being probably quite a bit richer than early estimates, adds up to a very good Ongombo and adds up in my eyes, to a very good year's work. We're very pleased, Kevin.
So what's the next steps then with Ongombo? What's going to be happening?
As concurrent with quite a few projects in our portfolio, we're putting the open pit out to tender. We'll be designing the underground. We'll be designing at what stage do we go into the entries. How can we incrementally work the pit and not have an interruption in production between leaving the pit to go into the underground? Obviously, a detailed budget. The financing of the mine, you don't do these things on equity, the project financing of the mine, as you say, final processing decisions, all concurrent activities. But I think what is important is we put an independently assessed ore resource. We put a circle around it. We know the tons, we know the grades, we know there's chance for addition. We know the broad mining program. And now we're putting this into what I would call engineering detail So the final numbers have got reliability and shareholders can get their heads around what sort of project it is. But, you know, this is a bit of a throwaway comment, Kevin, and if you look at our entry, you know, our portfolio in the Matchless, you know, the Matchless Copper Belt down in Namibia, we've got the best part of 500,000 or 600,000 tons of contained copper, you know, between Oak Gollop and Ongombo. And then, of course, we've got that huge anomaly north of Open Gorup. So we've really done hope the, you know, I'm pretty sure the Namibian government will realize we've really been very aggressive in our approach to the Masters Copper Belt, which was a smaller situation than when we took it over. We've added a lot of value to the Matchless, and there's more value to come. There's the new anomaly. There's more ore to be found on the east there and the east chute. And then, of course, down in Open Gorup in another life, we're making extremely good progress down there. So as we stand now between the two projects and our companies, we've probably got the best part of 600,000 tons of contained copper. Both projects and the anomaly, which we've not yet tested, should take us to significantly higher volume quantities of copper than our present expectations.
Good. I mean, it all sounds great. I mean, if you were to draw a picture in, say, period of time ahead, what can we expect? Are we talking about 10,000 tons a year? Are we talking about less, more? What do you think can be produced from these, interestingly,
you know, the bottom end we talked about small, you know, 600,000 tons of copper between two projects, 300,000 ton here roughly. You know, these are not small projects. These are quite useful projects because at 5,000 tons a year, that's 6 years. Obviously, we're talking the capability now for much bigger tonnages, but of course, it just doesn't end on how much you dig per year. You know, you've got to get the old balance right. And so the size of processing, but you're certainly talking about 10,000 tons a year operations, which are not small because those 10,000 tons are $90 million revenue. You know, that's a $90 million revenue business is not a small business, especially if you're looking at a 40% margin. It's not a small business.
And what is the situation then in terms of your ability then to increase that processing capacity? I mean, is the processing capacity for this and more around you without having to develop your own processing capacity?
Yes, it's around us. Well, you've just quoted yourself, you know, the 800,000 ton a year. But also we can create it ourselves. And that's the payoff matrix we're looking at the moment, how we go about that. But it's much bigger than it started off. Small mine isn't really the description anymore. It's moving up the description chain to a mid-sized mine. Our work on the Matchless Copper Belt is producing a lot of fruit. So
I mean, we look forward to more news. I mean, obviously, it's quite interesting that many people who have invested in African Pioneer, yes, they knew about what was going on in Namibia, but the big prize is with the other stuff that you've got, the two majors, to actually underpin and probably accelerate the valuation in African Pioneer with this stuff that's going on in Namibia has got to be very exciting.
Well, isn't it just, I mean, you know, it's no secret that Northwestern discovery, I mean, it's beyond any reasonable doubt now. We have Kamoa mineralization, we have the Western Foreland, and where they have the Kolwezi type mineralization as well. So that joint venture with First Quantum is exceptional. And Kevin, I don't think that it is really understood just how significant that First Quantum discovery is. It's transformational for them, let alone us, and they're a $23 billion company. We have discovered collectively in our deposit in the northwest of Zambia, the Western Foreland. Now, the Western Foreland was the subject of a discussion between BHP and Ivanhoe, and I saw a press release which says that Ivanhoe turned down $1 billion entry. The Western Foreland we've got, the Congo-style mineralization we've got, the same mineralization as the second richest mine in the world. Drilled, proved, the grand conglomerate is there. They're doing the modeling now, the three-dimensional modeling to identify the fluid traps. We've got the structures, we've got the joints, we've got the bolts, all being modeled. And, you know, that will predict the Kamoa type. To the west, of course, we've got the on-surface Kolwezi-style mineralization, which again, the value is copper and we understand cobalt and are exceptional. for near surface material. I guess that it's my job, and it's a difficult job in a despairing market. But you know, I really would like current shareholders and potential new shareholders to really understand the significance of that first quantum discovery. It's so transformational that, as I say, you know, you're actually talking about a $22-23 million valuation company. It's a significant addition to the copper portfolio. And to me, it fulfilled one of the dreams of my career, quite frankly. And I was very successful, only 70 kilometers away, you know, with the Calamblina project, which is now the Sentinel mine. But this really has removed all the questions. We now know for certain that the license we're talking about in the Northwest is not traditional style copper belt. It is Congo style mineralization, which leads to the Kamoa mine, the Western Forelands, and the Kolwezi. So it's you know, what more would you want, Kevin? Against, as you say, this bit of news, if you look at our market cap, if you look at our position, the news we put out today was significant enough to say, well, that's a fairly modest market cap for that sort of news. But then when you look at the sort of statement I've just made over the last 10 minutes, good Lord, you know, what good situation African Pioneer is in. And then we forgot what's happening in the Kalahari Copper Belt with Sandfire. They're busy. They're doing some major flyings. And one of our projects within the African Pioneer portfolio has got known intersections. So in the copper space, in the copper industry, strong partners, major discovery, which has been reported in Zambia, and our own ore body is growing apace, copper gold. So are we happy with our situation? Yes, of course we are, Kevin.
Yep, and hopefully the share price is going to catch up. £5.5 million market valuation has frankly becoming ridiculous now in terms of what you've discovered and what is available to you. So let's see how the market reacts to this.
Yeah, we're going to be working hard. We're going to be working to actually add more value to every single aspect of this portfolio. What I've learned over this last year and a half, Kevin, get your head down and get on with it. I'm afraid there's so many against you. The only thing management can do in this environment, heads down, get on with it, because we all know when it changes, it catches you by surprise. It creeps into the doldrums and it comes out. And when it comes to boy, it comes out fast. And this management wants to be ready for it.
Very good.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of African Pioneer. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.